Let's pray as we come to think about that passage. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it speaks today. Help me to share faithfully, and help us all to hear by your Spirit what you want to say to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, it's great to be baptizing Grace this morning. And as we do this sermon, I've got three words for you to remember. And the first one is grace. So that should be easy. Second one is growth. And the third one is glory. Okay, we'll come. Hopefully you'll see that as we go along. Well, I don't know if you noticed during the baptism service, it talked about baptism being the beginning of the journey of faith. Obviously, journey of faith can start before baptism, but it's a symbolic, the official start of the journey of faith. And actually, that's why I believe in child baptism, because I think children start off growing in faith, and they start off with the journey of faith. I want to think about the Christian life as a journey. First of all, how do you get on the journey to start with? If you're going to travel to Australia, you can't walk there. You can't swim there. You need a ticket to go on a plane or to go on a boat. So how do we get there? Secondly, how do you know your progress as you're going, how far you've got? And thirdly, are you clear where you're actually going to, where your destination is? So let's think about the Christian life in that way. And it starts off with this idea of grace. And grace actually as a start of the journey. Grace as the ticket for the journey. You need a ticket to ride. It's quite a Beatles song. But why do we need a ticket? Well, the alternative question is, why should God let you into his eternal home? Why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you into his family? There's no particular reason why he should. And actually, the reality is that we've all turned against God. The Bible calls that sin. And in a way, sin is a bar from us traveling to be with God. You may have noticed in the news, there's lots about migrants coming to this country and people upset about that, particularly those that are coming illegally. And particularly about people coming that are criminals, murderers. And there was a lot about talk about the guy who was kicked out of the country because he'd done sexually abused someone. That's right, isn't it? We only want people coming to this country who are willing to obey the law. And we don't want to welcome those that won't do that. But then why should God welcome us if we're not willing to be his? Why should he let us into heaven at the end of a journey? Why should he give us a ticket to travel with him? And actually, one way of thinking about sin is not so much the bad things we do, but actually the attitude that underlies them. And someone put this, we use this with children sometimes, that sin is saying to God, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. In other words, you know, I don't want to follow what God says, I don't want to have him in my life, I just want to go my own way and do my own thing. And if we're honest, most of us live like that sometimes in our lives, and a lot of people live like that in all of their lives. And that becomes a bar to us going on the journey with God. And there's nothing we can do, nothing we can pay, there's no way we can be good enough to get a ticket onto that journey. We're stuck because of our sin. But grace says, grace means a gift that we do not deserve. A gift that we do not deserve. And the reason we can go on the journey is because God, in grace, is willing to give us what we do not deserve. For him, it's actually very costly because sin needs to be judged, and it costs the cross to do that. But nonetheless, he's willing to give us freely that ticket to ride, a ticket to journey with him to heaven, to his eternal home. And to show what grace means, I want to refer to another story in the Bible. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's the story of Zacchaeus. It appears in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And it talks about Jesus' visit to Jericho. Jericho was en route to Jerusalem. He was heading there to where he'd eventually be crucified. And as he arrives in Jerusalem, there's big crowds want to see him. He's become famous. He's famous for his healings, famous for his teachings. People want to see him, this amazing preacher. But there's a guy called Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was basically the most unpopular person in Jericho. And he deserved to be unpopular. He was a nasty, greedy little man. We're told that he's a chief tax collector. That meant that he worked for the enemy, the Romans. He went around collecting money off people, which never makes you popular, in order to pay the rich Romans in Rome so they could be even richer and wealthier. And he also did it with the Romans bullying, Roman soldiers behind him, bullying people and often getting a bit of extra money for himself. So he became very rich himself off the backs of others. You can see why he wasn't very popular in Jericho. This guy, if anyone, deserved to be judged, surely. And yet when Jesus comes into Jericho, he walks through all the crowds, all the people that are cheering him on, and he sees Zacchaeus watching, because he's sure he's climbed up into a tree. And he says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down, I'm coming to your house for tea tonight." And everyone in the town went, "What? Why is he going to Zacchaeus' house? He's the most awful, nasty, little, greedy man you could ever think of." But Jesus wants to show God's grace. Jesus wants to show more powerfully by choosing this man out of all the other people that this worst of men can still receive God's gift of grace. A ticket to join on God's journey with him. That's grace. That's our ticket. That's how we can get onto the journey. But what about the journey itself? What does a journey look like? Well, as we go on the journey, it should look like growth. Growth in who we are and how we are. And if you go back to 2 Thessalonians in verse 3, it says this. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, who are new Christians themselves. This is only about 20 or so years after Jesus had died on the cross and risen again. And there's a new church in what is now Macedonia. Things are spreading. Paul has planted it there. And he's had to leave them. And he writes to them for the second time probably and says, "We ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." See how Paul is emphasizing the growth. And this is kind of showing the progress on the way to their journey of faith. Several years ago, my family and I went on a holiday to Vietnam because my sister was living out there at the time, and we had to fly on a plane, and the plane's about a 12-plus-hour journey. And as we're going on the plane, there are little screens up. I don't know if you've seen this. And the screens had a map of the world and a map of the journey, a little big arc across the world. And it showed the plane traveling, so you knew where you were, you knew how far you'd gone. When you're sitting stuck in a chair in this sort of metal box high up in the air, scared for your life, it's good to know. It's good to know how far you got. We've crossed the channel, we've crossed Europe, we've put over the Middle East, we got over India, and finally you're near to arriving. And Paul wants to encourage the Thessalonians, look, I can see that you're on the journey. I can see that you're progressing on this journey. You're growing in faith. You're growing in love. And to grow in faith means growing in a confidence in God. As you travel with God, growing to know more and more that God can be trusted, that he keeps his promises, that he will be there with you and for you, that he answers our prayers. And growing in love. Love is not this warm, fuzzy feeling towards others. Love is, in the Bible, is talking about a care, a service towards others. Not wanting to have people get as much out of people as possible, but actually wanting to give to people as much as possible. And you can see them growing in that. And back in the story in Zacchaeus, this story is a moment of him coming to faith, but you see instantly his growth in faith. It's an amazing transformation. Most Christians grow quite much more slowly than this, but he changes radically when he sees the radical grace that Jesus offers to him. And actually, you see, for Zacchaeus, he's decided to start on the journey, and you can get the ticket of grace. We talked about the baptism today being a kind of ticket, but you need to use the ticket. You need to go to the airport and get on the plane. Otherwise, you're never going to get to your destination. God offers grace freely to everyone. But we have to choose to use a ticket. We have to choose to stop saying, "Show off, God. I'm in charge, knows your rules." And start saying, "Actually, God, I need you close to me. I need your support and your help in life. I've realized that me being in charge has made a wreck of my life and ruined everything and ruined my relationships and messed up other people too. I've realized actually your rules are good rules to follow, worth following. I want to start on the journey with you. And when you do that, God begins to help you to grow. And you see, Zacchaeus did that. When Jesus came to his house, he made a big announcement. And he said, look, half of my money I'm going to give to the poor. I don't know how generous you are towards charity and everything, other things, but I've only come across a few people that have given half or more of their money to the poor. That's an incredibly generous thing to do. And more than that, he says, look, anyone I've defrauded, anyone I've taken more money from than I should have taken from, which is quite common amongst tax collectors, I'll pay them back. Now, in the Old Testament law, it tells you what to do if you've taken money off someone you shouldn't have taken or taken something off someone you shouldn't have taken. It says, to be reconciled with them, you should give them back what you took plus 20%. Seems fair, doesn't it? You know, give a bit of extra just sort of for the problems and the difficulties. But Zacchaeus says this, I'll give back what I took plus 300%. Four times what I took from them. That's amazing, isn't it? Zacchaeus has turned from this greedy, nasty little man into this incredible, generous, caring, kind person. And this is kind of thing that Paul was talking about when he's talking about a growth in faith and love. This is the kind of growth we should see in Christians. We should see that we're showing, that shows us that we're on the way, on the journey, following God, journeying with God. But Paul also wants to encourage the Thessalonians that they are journey. Their growth is showing in their perseverance as well. You see that in verse 4 onwards. And it was hard for the Thessalonians. Today, being a Christian can be hard. As Grace grows up, she may be teased by children at school for coming to church. Maybe people can make it difficult for you being a Christian. But in other parts of the world, it can be much more serious. People can actually be locked up or even killed because they're of their Christian faith. And for the Thessalonians, it was tough because people were going around saying, these Christians, they're preaching, telling people to follow this other king other than Caesar. And of course, Caesar was the Roman Empire emperor, and you wouldn't want to be following another king when Caesar was in charge. You could be in danger of being arrested or locked up or worse. You see, it was tough for these Christians. But Paul says, look, the fact that you're persevering, that you're keeping going with your faith despite these pressures, despite these difficulties, again, is a sign that you're on the journey. You're keeping going. And to encourage them, and Jesus says the same. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted you, the prophets who were before you. So growth shows in our faith, it shows in our love, it shows in our perseverance despite pressure to give up on our faith. But Paul wants to encourage the Thessalonians to keep going. And so he reminds them of the destination of the journey. And that destination is glory. Jesus, when Zacchaeus announced that he was going to give away all his money, said, today, salvation has come to this house. In other words, Zacchaeus is heading for the right destination. Zacchaeus is heading for glory. And at the end of 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the glory that will be revealed in Jesus. When Jesus comes again, his glory will be fully revealed. And he says, those that are journeying with Jesus in this life, they will help to glorify Jesus and be glorified with Jesus. This is the wonderful, joyful destination we are heading for. And so we should be encouraged to keep going. It can be tough being a Christian at times, but it's worth keeping going because of a destination, because of the glory we're heading for. But there's also a warning, isn't there, for people that are on the other side, people that are persecuting the Christians. Paul says that they will face God's judgment. That when Jesus comes in glory, they won't receive the glory. You see, if we live life saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules, then when the end comes and Jesus returns, Jesus will say to you, shove off. You don't want to be part of my people? Fine. You can't be. You're shut out from the kingdom of heaven. You're shut out from glory. You're shut out from blessing. You're separated from that. And Paul says that those who have been offered the gospel of grace, the gospel that Jesus offers freely to join him on the journey but reject it, those who continue without repenting, living with sin, then ultimately they will be shut out. And so when people persecute you for being a Christian, remember who ultimately wins. Ultimately it's Jesus that is the victor and those who journey with him. And if you're not yet journeying with Christ, then why not think again? Remember, God's grace means that it's never too late in this life to turn to him, to repent like Zacchaeus, or even like Paul, who was one of those persecutors going around killing Christians. It's never too late. Take hold of that ticket that Jesus is offering you, that ticket of grace, and choose to follow him on the journey with it through this life and ultimately to glory. Paul prays that the Thessalonians will know that glory that will come, that in their growth in faith that they will glorify Jesus. But he says at the end in that verse 12 that all of this comes from grace, the grace that God gives to us to welcome us like Zacchaeus into his people, into his family, onto a journey with him. Let's pray for grace today that she would take on that journey, and as she grows up physically, she'll grow in faith as well and rejoice ultimately with the rest of us in the glory of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. Help us to accept your ticket of grace, to go on a journey in life with you that we may grow in faith, love, and perseverance, and be confident of our ultimate destination of glory with you forever. Amen.